Anthony Reich, I went to bed. It was Gantz. I woke up. It was Netanyahu. What went on?
Well, what went on? I think that the answer is that it was always going to be either Gantz or Netanyahu, and it was too close to call. And that's exactly the way it's transpired with the results now in. The results show that the Kahol Lavan party of Benny Gantz and the Likud party of Benjamin Netanyahu are still neck and neck in terms of the number of seats that they've earned in the Knesset, each of them having gained 35 seats in the upcoming Knesset. And so the question is, who will form the government, because we have a dead heat in terms of the number of seats that have been given to each of the two main parties by the electorate. And the answer is that it looks very likely that Prime Minister Netanyahu will in fact continue in his role as Prime Minister, and that he will be the one to form the next government. Of course, it was quite unexpected that they both came out with exactly the same number of seats. That's not something that has happened before in an election in Israel. So that would be a very, very unusual situation. But we do know, you know, from all of the opinion polls that went beforehand, that they were very, very close to each other. And that's apparently how it's turned out. So I think it's the first time in Israel's history that the two main parties, the two largest parties, control 70% of the seats in the Knesset. That's a highly unusual situation. But that's what we have right now. And if anything, it seems to have strengthened Prime Minister Netanyahu's position, even though I think when the votes are ultimately counted up, all of them together, he's probably going to be edged out in the actual number of votes that were cast by Benny Gantz and Yair Lapid's Kahol Lavan party. But it seems as if though he is the one who has the support from the other smaller parties to be able to form the next government. And so that's what we expect will happen in a much stronger way than was before, because let's not forget that Likud in the previous Knesset only had 30 seats. Now they're coming into the Knesset with 35 seats. So I think that that's going to be a substantial benefit to the Prime Minister, despite the fact that he had a tie with Kahol Lavan for the number of seats in the Knesset.
Yesterday you were talking about the possibility of a government of national unity. How does that look to you today?
Well, I still can't rule it out, and it would be something that I think would be welcome. The papers are currently talking about Netanyahu's traditional coalition partners coming into the government with him. That will earn him 65 seats when he only needs a majority of 61. So that will certainly give him a government. But obviously, when we look at it now, with all the numbers of the seats having been counted, a 70-seat majority would probably be better than a 65-seat majority. And also, it means that all of those special interest parties could effectively be excluded from the government, and it would allow potentially the government to really focus on its main agenda, the main orders of business, rather than having to pander to a minority interest party. So I still hold the view that that would be the best thing for Israel. But who's to know whether somehow the Kahol Lavan leadership and Likud can find a way to work together. It would be, I think, a good change in terms of having a different style of government than the ones that we've been accustomed to having in the past.
Anthony, again, last night, I'm a little out of date, I don't know what's happening today, but the Arab vote was very, very low when I went to bed last night. What were the figures today?
So in general, the voter turnout, I haven't seen the final numbers for the actual voter turnout, but certainly as we progressed through the day yesterday, voter turnout seemed to be slightly lower, 1 or 2 or 3 percentage points lower than the equivalent voter turnout during the 2015 election. And the same was true for Arab voters, who seemed to have stayed away in much greater numbers even than was anticipated. We did expect the Arab vote to be around the 50% mark. It seems like it might even have been lower than that. And that's really reflected in the number of seats that have been allocated to the Arab parties contesting seats in the Knesset, whereas the joint list of the Arab parties, they competed as one list last time around. They had 13 seats in the Knesset. This time around, the Arab parties competed in two different blocks, and one party earned 6 seats, the other earned 4 seats. So together they have 10 seats, as opposed to the 13 seats that they had previously. So one has to infer from that that the number of Arab voters was less, because obviously it would be the Arab voters that you would expect to support the Arab parties and to vote for them. And the more voters there are, no matter which Arab party they're supporting, the more seats those Arab parties would earn in the Knesset. And the reduction in the number of Arab seats indicates to me that there's been a fairly substantial reduction in the number of Arabs who actually turned out to vote this time around.
Anthony, I want to steal 1 minute from the news because I think this is important. I mean, one has to give credit where credit is due. Benny Gantz got a parity of votes for a party that did not exist 4 months ago. I mean, that's a transformation of the political landscape in Israel. And I'm just wondering, where does that go? What does that mean?
Well, that's absolutely, well, somewhat true, because I think that one has to take into consideration that Yair Lapid's party did in fact have 11 seats in the last Knesset, and so he now forms part of that party that has earned 35 seats. But in terms of an achievement of even going from 11 to 35, one cannot deny that that is a massive a change of the political landscape, and I think a massive victory for those guys who've come together to form this party and to form this joint list. Where does it go from here? Very much depends on what happens in the Knesset. Now, we actually saw a similar phenomenon 2 elections ago when Naftali Bennett emerged from zero to also gain a significant number of seats, admittedly not 35 seats, but still a surprising number of seats. And look what happened to him this time around. He's not even in the Knesset. He didn't get enough votes to even get past the minimum required to get a seat in the Knesset. So he's completely gone from the political landscape, and that's what's happened to him in the space of 8 years. So it's hard to know exactly what will happen, but one does have the feeling that Benny Gantz and his team of former generals from the IDF are here to stay and here to make a difference to Israel and to the way that business is done on the political landscape. So we hope that that will be the case, and that over time they will strengthen, and that the public will support them for doing good things.
Anthony Reich, thank you so much for speaking to us. Hopefully we speak to you same time tomorrow. Time has gone 31 minutes past 5. Time for some news headlines with Sasha.